listening to the Single Rider Podcast, a podcast for those of us that relate a little too much to Bunny Bubbles and Beulah and not enough to Teddy Vera. I'm Casey, I'm your host, and yes, I am still single. Welcome to episode 2. Episode 1 was crazy, so thank you so much to everyone that is back for more. Telling that story and releasing the podcast was really scary, but I'm really glad that I did it because I've gotten a lot of great feedback from people, and I just can't stop saying thank you so much for listening. So, you know, here we are in episode 2. But I do want to give a big shout out to my Podcast The Ride Facebook group family. I posted the link to the podcast in the group just to kind of be like, hey guys, some of you know the story, a lot of you don't, but I made a podcast about one of the guys that I met at the live show. And so I wanted to post it here just so you guys are aware of what happened, because it sucked and it made me feel bad. So, you know, please give it a listen if you'd like to. It's just, I just want you to be aware of, you know, that maybe not everyone in this group is great. So people listened, a lot of people listened, and I got so many great messages and feedback. And I actually got someone that messaged me and they said, hey, you know, I've been talking to someone in the group and they're kind of checking all the boxes of Mr. Toad. And I won't say anything, but I really just want to know, is it this person? Because they've been messaging me. And it was him! So, I'm glad I helped her dodge a bullet, perhaps. You know, just kind of, you gotta give people a heads up. So, it's crazy that, you know, this could possibly be, the third person in the Facebook group that he has bothered. But, anyways, so, thank you so much to my PTR fam. I love being there and I love being in that group, and I'm glad that I'm not going to let Mr. Toad ruin it. And I've had some questions, some people asking for an update on the Carthay Circle guy. Well, he listened to the podcast. I actually didn't tell him that he was on the podcast, so I posted it in the Facebook group and I saw that he liked the post, and I was like, oh no, I probably should have given him a heads up. But he listened to it and he sent me a really nice text message, you know, hey, great job on the podcast. And you know what? That Carthay Circle guy sounds pretty great. So yeah, I think he was very happy to be in the good boy category. And, you know, I'm glad that he was in there too. So for today's episode, I am calling my friend in California, and please forgive me, this is only episode 2, again, and I recorded it incorrectly. Whenever we did our little Skype call, I picked my laptop microphone instead of the amazing microphone you're hearing right now. So please forgive me for that. I promise it'll sound better in the future, but I really had to be talked off a ledge because I was like, this is terrible. But it's a really great interview, and I hope you enjoy it. So let me introduce you to the guest. He is calling in from California. He is a Disneyland and Universal Hollywood annual pass holder. He runs an apparel brand called Harbor and Ball. And most importantly, we're matched on Bumble. Please welcome to the show, Mike Avellino.
Hey, Casey. Longtime listener, first-time caller.
Hi.
Hi.
I really wanted to put that we were matched on Bumble because I think it's very funny. Because, my thing with, if I see someone that I know on Bumble, if we're, good friends, we're good friends, I'm going to swipe on you. And sure. I was going to be very upset if you didn't swipe on me. So, luckily you did.
Well, you always do the friendship swipe, right? So you can say, ha ha, found you.
There's some people that I know, but I'm not to a friendship level with them yet. We're acquaintances, and I see them on Bumble, and I'm too scared to swipe on them.
No, I think if I recognize them enough, I give them the swipe right.
Yeah, just even just say hey.
Yeah. We're both single and miserable on this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so you are single.
I am.
Yeah, and what are your favorite dating apps?
I use Tinder, Bumble, and OkCupid, mostly on Bumble, though.
Wow. Okay, Cupid.
Yeah. I don't know why. I think just because information wise, like that's where you write like a full bio, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
And
they
do like the questions, and there's like a match percentage, which I like.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know you don't want to be like on an app, and then all of a sudden you find out they're like Trump, like half the conversation in.
Oh yeah, that's true. There's a level to OkCupid that I didn't really think about, because in Bumble and Tinder you only have so many characters like to work with, like typing wise.
Yeah, you're basically writing a tweet on those two. So
yeah. For like Bumble, the woman has to initiate the conversation, and you said that's your favorite app or the one you're on most. What are some of your favorite Bumble openers? Because that always is. I'm always curious about that, being a woman, and I don't know what other people are saying.
Yeah. So, you know, from the guy's side, and that's kind of why I like Bumble, because the girl initiates, and I get nervous, you know, when I meet girls. So, you know, they start the conversation, some pressure's already off. Hopefully, you know, they say something good. Usually it's just a hi. So my usual response is the Forrest Gump gif where he's waving to Lieutenant Dan.
Yeah.
That's a nice, like, fun little hi. Or I just go right in and say, we did it. I'm going to call my dad and tell him the good news. And that usually gets a laugh, because it's like, you know, you're kind of joking and moving way too fast already.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty cute. I don't think I've ever had anyone say that. Nobody's calling their dads for me. But, and I feel like there's a lot of people say, hey, how's your day going? And I feel like I am guilty of that, because sometimes there's just nothing in their profile to go off of, but I have to start a conversation. So I do, hey, how's your day going? But I feel like that probably happens a lot too.
Yeah, I think there was a period where I got a little cynical in my profile, and I even put my day's going fine. it's such like a softball question when, you know, we're all just trying to get through that initial icebreaker.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah. There's one thing that I've started noticing in profiles, and I noticed it when I was in Texas, because like being like swiping in Orlando, you get like the same stuff. And you think, oh, everyone just likes Disney, so whatever. But even in Texas, I started noticing a lot of guys putting, like, I have Disney Plus. Like, it's like, they're like, do you want a Disney Plus and chill? Like, it's so interesting, because once Disney Plus came out, like, whenever I was in Texas, it was over, like, Christmas break. And so everyone was talking about having, like, a Disney Plus login. It was, like, a weird flex.
It's a really weird flex, because it's like the cheapest streaming app, and no one was bragging about Netflix before this.
Right.
So I don't know what it is, but I have seen that in a couple girls' profiles as well.
Yeah, that's a weird one. I don't think it's a good move.
We all signed up for multiple years, so we all have it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we're committed. I'm committed for 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sharing with Jumbo Joe.
I'm sharing with one other person. But then, like, usually I share with my family, but I gave it out as gifts this year. Like, I bought subscriptions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I told, I suggested that to my best friend, because she didn't know what to get her mom for Christmas. And I was like, well, she likes Star Wars. Just get her Disney Plus so she can watch The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And so she got her that, and she really liked it. But then she was like, now I have to watch this all during Christmas. I was like, sorry.
Whoops.
So dating and theme parks, like you're a Disneyland annual pass holder. So I'm sure you've been to Disneyland with someone that maybe you were talking to. What would you say would be maybe some theme park deal breakers for maybe someone you've just met and you're at the park with them? Like what is, if this happens, you're like, this is going nowhere.
Well, I think right off the bat, if they don't want to get Fast Pass or like Max Pass, which is our Fast Pass system out here,
Yeah.
You know, for me, I'm very efficient when I go in the parks. I don't have to rush and do everything, but I'm also not going to stand 85 minutes in a line. Yeah. So if they don't want to do that, that's kind of a deal breaker.
It's a small investment to have a better park day.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, you get the ride photos and everything. So I see there's value in it, but it makes me sound bougie that already off the bat they have to buy something for me to not have a deal breaker.
If you're going with them, they hopefully have a pass. And I know it's something you can add on top of your pass. And I honestly don't know why, as like a local or an AP holder, you wouldn't just go ahead and buy it, you know, for the year. Because is that what you do? Like, you added it on?
Yeah, yeah. So I have the signature pass, which only blacks out during Christmas. And then it's $100 to add on the max pass for the year. Mm-hmm. And if you're going more than 5 times, which I definitely do every year, like, it pays for itself.
Yeah. Yeah. Did I tell you I bought a Disneyland Flex Pass?
Oh, no. Casey.
No, it's a good deal for me.
Isn't that the one you have to, like, make reservations, though, and, like, and I, hope you get in?
Yes. Oh, and you do it 30 days ahead of time, and I'm coming at the end of the month, and I already booked my 2 days, and it's fine.
Oh, you're coming to visit in, like, a week, is what you're saying.
In, like, 11 days.
Well, isn't that convenient?
Oh, my gosh. I feel like I already told you this.
You have not.
Well, I just bought the Flex Pass, and I went ahead and added on the Max Pass because, yeah, if I go, over 5 days, then it's worth it because I kind of was adding it up, and I was like, surely in the next year I'm going to go on, like, at least 2 to 3 trips. And I'm mad that I didn't just get it whenever I was there in December.
But, oh, and, like, add it to the cost of your ticket?
Yeah, but... So that's happening. Moving on.
That we'll talk after.
Yeah. But yeah, so MaxPass is a deal breaker. Any other deal breakers?
I think people that don't like characters or, like, you know, I'm not saying let's meet and greet every character, but if Mickey waves at me, I'm gonna wave at Mickey. And, you know, I've been with people that just will absolutely not acknowledge a character in Disneyland. So that's kind of a deal breaker for me dating wise. You know, I'm not going to end a friendship over it, but I don't want to have to, like, kind of hold back from my park experience with someone.
On that note, is there a theme park character that you would take on a date? Like, in the last episode, I mentioned that I would want to go on a date with Sunny Eclipse from Tomorrowland and Cosmic Rays.
That's a good choice. He has a big energy about him.
Oh, he's so good.
Character in the park on a date. I would say Tiana.
Yeah, she'd be good.
You know, she's confident. She's, you know, has a bit of sass to her. Obviously would know, you know, good places to eat. So she just seems like someone that'd be totally fun and, you know, doesn't have time to stop and sing and dance all the time. So I think we could have a good park day.
That's good.
Plus,
she's
a princess. I mean, that's fast pass everywhere.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You're getting on every ride. You're getting, like, the Mark Twain riverboat, like, solo. Like, you guys are just gonna get it all to yourself.
Yeah, we're gonna go up to the captain's cabin. I'm gonna get the certificate finally. I'm gonna pull the horn. Do you know about that?
I've heard of it. Yeah. And is it just random?
I mean, if there's a kid asking for it, you will never get it, but all you have to do is ask a cast member before you board, and they escort you up, and you sign the captain's log, you get to ride up there as he, like, pilots the ship, and then at the end, you get, like, an honorary captain's certificate saying that you piloted the Mark Twain.
That's amazing.
It's on the list of, like, park grails.
Yeah, that's a goal.
Yeah, and Tiana will help me with that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. Okay, I have one game for you, and this is like a this or that game where I'm going to present some options so you can craft the ideal Disneyland date. And we're going to say this is like a first date.
Okay.
Yeah. So for a snack, what are you picking? A Dole Whip or a churro?
Huh. I'm going to say churro. It's more of a walking around snack, and it's, you know, it's a good size. It's manageable.
Yeah. And I feel like Dole Whips, there's like, you have to be in the right mood for it. See, I feel like Disneyland gets colder a lot more than, obviously, than Florida.
Yeah.
And like the original Dole Whip line is always crazy, but they just opened that new place where you can get different Dole Whips.
Yeah, the Tropical Hideaway, which is like right on the other side of the Tiki Room. There's more flavors, there's more room for a line. But yeah, I mean, with the Dole Whip, it's such a commitment. Like halfway through, I'm always wishing it was done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I will say the Tropical Hideaway also has a new, and it has an animatronic. It has Rosita.
Yes, yeah. With her really bad jokes.
Yeah. And they're like, they're spaced out enough that you sometimes like forget that she's there, and then she'll like start talking again.
And it's so loud and it scares me every time.
All right. So we've got your churro is going to be your snack.
Uh-huh.
So now you're going to go for drinks. Okay. Are you going to Lamplight Lounge or Carthay Circle Lounge?
I would say Lamplight. Carthay would be good for like, you know, one-on-one conversation, but I think the atmosphere of Lamplight would make it a little more casual, a little more comfortable, and you kind of just get the people watch still. So I think, you know, for a first date, I think that'd be more of a more comfortable vibe.
Okay, yeah. I agree with that, because Carthay Circle is very, like, dark, and, like, there's lots of reds, and there's only, like, a handful of tables, so I do like the people-watching opportunities, so if you're on a date and you're stalling for conversation or, like, what do I say, like, you could be, like, talk about the, like, Pixar pal around, or, like, you could talk about Incredicoaster, or just talk about someone walking by. Yeah.
And so, like, Carthay is more for, like, if you're meeting someone on Bumble and you just want to make out real quick while your friends are waiting outside, that's more Carthay.
I mean...
I've heard.
I've heard it's good for that. I've heard it's really good for that, you know, and...
Yeah, I think it was in a Yelp review or something.
It had to be somewhere. I mean, but the people sounded like good people.
Their hearts were in the right place.
Yeah. I mean, sure. Sometimes you have to, you know, whatever you're working with, if you have to go upstairs at Carthay Circle Lounge and talk for 5 minutes because your friends are going in different places and you can't get together, sometimes you do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know so what I heard about that. Okay, so I'm going to have a couple of attractions. Okay. So, first attraction, are you doing the Pixar Pal Around Fun Wheel or the Inside Out Emotional Whirlwind?
Emotional Whirlwind every time, because I'm not going to do a swinging gondola with a first date. I don't need them to see me having my mini panic attack.
Would you do the stationary?
Stationary, sure, but you're also running the risk of having people in there with you.
Oh, true.
So it's like 20 minutes of awkwardness with strangers when you're already on a first date.
Yeah. And the problem with the stationary is, yeah, if you were on there with strangers and it's stationary, like you can't even be like, oh, like, and be like freaked out about it moving because you're going complete, you're completely still in this quiet gondola.
It's not the shared fear experience of the swimming
pool. Right. I did once met a guy, or I matched with a guy. And he was at California Adventure when I was at California Adventure, and I was leaving for the airport in like 2 hours. Okay. So I'm just walking around, and we matched, and he's like, yeah, I'm at California Adventure. I'm drinking a beer. Mind you, it's like 10 o'clock in the morning. I was like, oh, I'm here too. And he's like, let's say hi. We meet up, and we like walk around, and I'm like, I've never been on the swinging gondolas. And he goes, well, we have to do it. We got on there, and we were on there with another couple. It was a couple and like their baby. I'm with this guy that I know like 5 things about because we just matched and we have this random shared experience with this family. And then like we walked around a little bit more, and then I was like, okay, well, I have to go like catch my flight. And he was like, okay. We like hug, and then he like kissed me, and then I walked away. It was so strange because it was like, we don't know each other, like, we don't know really anything about each other. And this guy, like, just, like, kind of, like, planted a kiss on me. And I'm like, all right, see you later.
So is this two one-off kisses at the park?
Okay. This is a judgment-free zone.
Oh.
But
it just seems like you have a pattern.
It's not a pattern. It's just a coincidence.
Mm-hmm. Sure, Jan.
I really don't know if I should be doing this podcast if I ever want to not be single. Because this isn't going well for me. Okay.
Episode 2, going great.
So, okay. So we're picking Inside Out, Emotional Whirlwind. I do like that they don't try and shove 4 people in those things. If you're not with 4 people.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, a little. How about a game with a little bit of competition? Are we doing Midway Mania or Astro Blasters?
Midway Mania, because that's truly more like one-on-one. Astro Blasters, someone's going to try to, you know, spin the car. The guns may not work. You know, it's a beat-up ride. So I would say Midway Mania for sure.
That's really frustrating about Astro Blasters is having to move the vehicle because one of you, has to take control. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to always probably be in your favor because it's like, oh, I'm moving it where I want to go. Or, you know, whoever is holding, you know, the thing. I feel like there's a better level playing ground for Midway Mania. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I feel that. Okay, and so now a thrill ride, I guess. Would you do California Screamin'? Oh, wait, it's not even called that anymore.
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm a failure. Incredicoaster. Or Space Mountain?
I'm going to say Incredicoaster just because that launch can really tell you about a person and how freaked out they are.
Yeah.
Or if they're, like, enjoying it.
And I like Incredicoaster. I don't like being in the dark.
Yeah, and Space Mountain, every girl that I ride it with, you know, my friends, they always have tears running down afterwards because it's so cold in there and the makeup smeared, so maybe not for a first date.
I really appreciate that you're looking out for your date.
Well, I've got to walk around with her, so.
That's true. All right, so for a show, a nighttime show, are you watching Fantasmic or World of Color?
Fantasmic. That's my show of preference between the two parks. Plus, I feel like there's less standing around and waiting for Fantasmic, where, you know, World of Color, they have you, like, smashed up against everyone else for an hour until they let you in.
Yeah.
So I feel like Fantasmic's more comfortable where you can still, you know, have conversation while waiting while not, you know, packed in with everyone else.
Oh, totally. I totally feel that.
Yeah.
And then one more. All right. Are you watching a parade or are you going to Mickey and the Magical Map?
Oh, Casey, that's the easiest question so far. Obviously, we're going to Magical Map. Follow my stories, you know that we're going to Map.
I feel like when we went, we only had to watch it once, I think, when I was with you. We may have watched it twice. I can't remember.
We only got to watch it once.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, we only got to watch it once. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I go every week and watch it. I love the show. Me and my friends love the show. We have friends in the show. So, you know, we like to stop by. But yeah, I never will make, you know, people visiting watch it more than once. I feel like that's fair to ask of them.
Yeah, I think that's appropriate.
It's a good show, though, right?
Yeah. It is really good. Like, I've always liked it. And the problem with parades is another, like, having to stand and wait, find
some
a good
parents
spot.
Parents gonna put their kid in front of you right before the parade starts.
Yeah. And at Making the Magical Map, you can get snacks, like, right there. It's so convenient.
Yeah, a giant baked potato. What a great first date food.
Oh, I love that baked potato. Mm-hmm. I would eat that on a first date. I would be like, I'm sorry, I have to go get this baked potato. Yeah.
You can mobile order it now, too, so it's even more convenient.
The dream. All right, well, those are all of my questions for that.
Okay, I like that.
I think now we should go into story time. So, like I've said before on the podcast, every week I'm going to have dating stories, so they might not always be mine because, I mean, I don't have that many.
Mm-hmm.
But, Mike, since you're single and you love theme parks, I knew you would have some good ones, so I know you have a couple for me, so I'm ready to hear them because I have not heard these stories.
I do have a couple dates at the parks. I guess I'll start with a shorter one first. Back in 2017, I think, I matched with someone on Tinder, and we were talking about going to the parks and everything, and we were going to have a Disney day, and, you know, in our conversations, I told her how much I go and how much I love going, so we decided to go to Universal Studios first as a preliminary date, just like a casual hangout. And that's actually how I ended up having a Universal Pass, and I've had it for going on 3 years now. And that first date was fun. You know, we hung out. We went to Harry Potter. It was around Christmas time, so they still had, like, the light show and everything. It snowed. Very low-pressure date, seeing if we could tolerate each other for a full day at Disney. And it went great. Fast forward a couple days later, we went to Disneyland for a full day. We had reservations for the Fantasmic dinner package. We rope dropped. Like, we were in for a full 18-hour day, for better or worse judgment. And it was going well. You know, it was January. Parks weren't crowded. A lot of time to talk and walk around. She didn't hit any deal breakers, so we kept going. Around midday, we were in line for Guardians. And I don't know if it was nerves or just what we were eating. Things were happening in the stomach. I tried to play it off, but once we got into the pre-show room where you meet Rocket, I knew that I could not go on this ride. And I was trying very hard to, you know, calmly say, can we come back and do this later? And she wasn't getting it. She said, no, we're about to go on. It's fine. I'm like, no, I can't. And once the pre-show ended, I tried to get the guy to let me out through the entrance. And he said, no, you have to go through the line. This is only a one-way room, which I didn't get, but I was in no position to argue. So we stayed in line, and right before we boarded, things were happening, and I had to out of there. I told her, you go ride, I'll meet you by the bathrooms by Captain America. And so I just ran out, and, you know, this is the second date, I'm making this girl ride a thrill ride alone.
And bathroom is far.
It was a walk, especially when the oven is ready. But yeah, so upset stomach for probably about an hour or two of this date at Disney. And, you know, she rode with me. Her stuff was at my house. So, you know, there's no backing out. We're stuck for the day with that just knowledge just hovering over the date. So very, very awkward. But we kept going, powered through. We had our Fantasmic dinner. And so that gave us, like, reserved seating for the show. And she wanted to sit in the front row in January, where we're definitely going to get splashed and wet. I was already at maybe 75% at this point because of the earlier Guardians of the Galaxy situation. So I think from there, I was kind of getting fed up and we were starting to butt heads and maybe we were just tired. And after that, I think we kind of got to a point where like, maybe we shouldn't hang out at parks anymore. So that kind of ended theme park dating with that girl.
Oh, so. Well, that's really hard to do a full day with someone, especially like even like, you know, just day two, like date two. And like, cause like, was she like, whenever you got back to meet her, after the ride, like, was she just like, is everything okay? Like, did it seem like maybe she was texting more than she was before, or like anything to like, cause I feel like some people would just be like, oh, guess what just happened? And like, you know, maybe like their attention gets diverted after something like that happens.
Yeah. I mean, I wish that by the time she got off the ride, I was done, but I wasn't. So, I mean, there was definitely downtime where I can almost guarantee she was texting someone saying, this guy is shit in the bed, literally. So, I mean, I think, you know, there was a little awkwardness, but we had, you know, liked each other so much just from our conversations on the app and then, you know, our first date. So I think we were like, you know, things happen.
Yeah.
Let's get past it. So I don't think there was a lot of awkwardness. I think by the end of the day, just being around each other for so long and just being tired in the parks in the cold wore us down way more than, you know, my incident.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So yeah, by that point, it's toddler meltdown. You're like, I'm just tired. I just need a nap, you know?
It's, yeah.
It's there's really nothing you can do right now besides, like, just take me to my bed, please.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think we dreamed too big for a second date to spend almost 24 hours together.
Yeah.
So I, you know, I think that kind of killed things a little.
And especially since you live, on a good day, you're what, like an hour away?
Oh, at this time I was living further away, so it was 90 minutes each way.
Oh no.
Yeah. So it was rough times.
Yeah. And I will say I've had stomach issues on a date, and it was at Disney Springs. And I was like mostly concerned because we went to eat and then we went to the movies, and we're like sitting in the movies, like, and we got there early. And so it's like pre-show stuff. And I'm like, I gotta go to the bathroom. And so I like go to the bathroom, and then I come back, and then I'm like, crap, I have to go to the bathroom again. And I'm like, this guy's going to think that I just like don't want to sit next to him because I keep leaving. And I'm texting my friends, and I'm like, hey, is it true? I was like Googling, because I had heard that like maybe if you drink a beer, it helps like settle your stomach a little bit. So okay. I'm texting my friends asking them, if I drink a beer, will it help my stomach? And they're like, yeah, probably, maybe. And
so I don't think that's how it works.
I don't know. Well, I don't know. So I was like, I told him, I was like, my stomach kind of hurts. I'm going to go try and get a beer. Because I also didn't want him to think, like, she can't, like, just watch the movie. She has to go get a beer. So I went and got a Blue Moon, and I was able to get through the rest of the movie. Okay. But that's really hard with someone that, like, you don't know well enough to be like, listen, this is what's actually happening, and I'm, like, dying inside.
Yeah.
Until you're about to get on Mission Breakout, and you just gotta make a run for it.
You have to break out.
Yeah. Oh man. Okay. So that was one day. What about? Do you have any more for me?
Yeah. I mean, I think dating in general in the parks is a good play. Just because it's built-in activities. It's not like, you know, what do you want to do type situations. You know, you're at the park, you're going on rides, so you have time to talk in all the lines. You get food together, you get drinks, and then more drinks to kind of, you know, kill the nerves a bit. And so, you know, I have gone on multiple dates to the parks. One of my previous long-term girlfriends, you know, before we became a couple, there was a lot of dating at the parks for, you know, a couple of months. I think, you know, we mutually liked each other, but we were, you know, good friends. So the parks were kind of a way to kind of take the pressure off and just kind of be stupid and fun with this person you like hang out with already. And then, you know, you're drinking to, you know, calm the nerves or any tension between the two of you. And so I think, you know, going to the parks with someone and getting to know them over time, multiple trips, especially, is a great way, you know, to kind of have that before you become a couple or anything like that. You have so many random experiences together. You get closer over each time. So I think, you know, dating in the park is, and you would know this too, just because you've gone on dates to the park, it's a great way to find out about someone, not just, you know, their likes and dislikes, but also kind of like how they act in crowds and with people. And, you know, that kind of is very telling on dates.
Oh yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really good way to approach it, because it kind of takes a little bit of the pressure off too, because you know, it's like, oh, like we are going to be in this line, you know, and so it gives us a chance to talk. But there's enough going on around us that, like, if there's any kind of, like, silence, it's never awkward silence, you know, because it's, like, you can kind of just be like, oh, look at this thing. You know, there's...
Yeah, you can people watch, you can kind of, like, plan your next ride or your next show or whatever. Yeah, and then, like you said, it eats up the awkward silences just because hopefully you're always doing something, whether it's, you know, moving into the next room of the ride, or you're making your way towards, you know, a different land, or getting a churro together. From that dating with a long-term girlfriend, you know, our first kiss was actually in Haunted Mansion Holiday. So it's very, you know, cliche.
Wow.
Yeah. So
where was it in?
Where in the ride?
Yeah. What part of the ride?
It was the graveyard scene. So, you know, you're out of the attic, you see Jack Skellington. And, yeah, it was right after the singing pumpkins.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, this was, like, months of, like, build-up, And, you know, it happened. And I think I was just like in stunned silence the rest of the ride. Because the kiss finally happened.
Yeah.
I think being in the park again kind of opens up for those types of, you know, firsts. And, you know, what's more intimate than being in a ride together, especially on a mansion where you're not like in a boat or a car with like 10 other people.
Yeah, you're just like sharing your little dune buggy together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think, you know, I think when Disney built the park, he had like, you know, dates in mind for stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Walt Disney was totally horny for it.
Yeah. You know, Disneyland's the original Tinder.
Yeah.
I think it says that on the plaque when you come in.
It's on one of them.
Yeah.
I think it's on the right side. You wouldn't know that because you're always going on the left side.
Hey, hey, there's a strategy to that.
Yeah. Actually, I had a first kiss at Haunted Mansion as well, in Florida. I've been talking to this guy, and we were kind of like building up our first kiss, like, and so he was like, "You should do it," and so I was like, "Okay, well, I'm gonna like, you won't know when it's gonna happen," and so I also did it at Haunted Mansion, but I did it when you, when you're in the stretching room. And when the lights go out and like the scream happens, like as soon as the lights went out, I like kissed him.
So right before the ride even starts.
Yeah, just as the lights go out and people scream or whatever, I like kissed him. So by the time the lights turned back on, I had already kissed him. Like it was just like a little like surprise kiss.
See, like for me, I would get in my head too much with that because what if it goes bad and then yeah. Like, you have the like awkward like slow moving like line to board from that point. So that is a bold move, Casey.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't expecting it, like, because I don't know, like it was so dumb. We were just like being dumb and we're like, I'm gonna, like, it was so cheesy. I'm just like, I'm gonna figure out somewhere good so that it's memorable. It's like, well, that
and you didn't have Carthay available.
No. It was like, this was like when I first moved to Florida. So, I mean, I want some like tea. Do you have any like good, like, you know, I think we could have time for like one more story.
Okay. Maybe my spiciest story.
Love that.
I can't believe I'm talking about this on a podcast. So another girl we met on Bumble. On all my dating profiles, it's mostly pictures of me at the parks because I just use photos from my Instagram, which is all me in my shirts. So, you know, obviously a great icebreaker if you match with me, talk about Disney. So we did. And, you know, it turns out we were both pass holders. We lived in the same area. So we figured, let's go to Disneyland. It's a neutral place. And if it sucks, at least we can go on Space Mountain or something. And the date went really well. We got along great. I didn't have any stomach issues. We didn't stay for 18 hours. So, you know, all the boxes were checked. And after that, we agreed to go on a couple more dates. And so we didn't go back to the theme park after that. And so on date three, things were going well. I took her back to her place. She invited me inside. And as we were in her room about to, you know, hook up, I looked over to the nightstand, and there is a picture of her, her husband, and her three kids.
No! Yes.
I was going on dates with a married woman, and these were not like little three-year-old kids. They were like grade school. I think one of them was in middle school.
Oh, no.
So she had kids, and she had them young. And so I asked her about it. I'm like, hey, who are these people? She's like, oh, that's my family. Like the most casual thing in the world. Like I asked about like a pet. And she had explained that her husband travels a lot and he lets her date around. And at that point, I figured maybe it's time to stop the date.
Yeah. And like, where were the kids?
I would assume they were at a sitter because there was no sign of anyone in the home.
Yeah, because that would be okay, because like this is something that would happen to me, and I would, and like my greatest fear would be like, I'm gonna like walk out of this room and there's gonna be like a child staring at me or something, you know, like that. Yeah. I would be so scared.
Yeah, there was no sign of other people at the home. I wish there was, so that way we wouldn't have to find out that way. But yeah, so there was no future dates after that.
And there are a lot of people on dating apps that are, the hip term for it is they're ethically non-monogamous. That's like the thing that I see on like profiles a lot. If they're like open or something like that. But the thing with that is that you have to have communication. You have to, one, either state it on your profile or say like, hey, before we go on this date, just so you know, I am married and we're open, or, you know, he's away and he gives me his blessing. Because like, I have been on dates with people that are married or engaged or have a long-term girlfriend, and it's just, and they're not open, and they are just having fun on this app where they think, you know, it's like not the real world.
So they think it's like consequence free and
And so it's just like, you just have to communicate these things, and don't communicate it whenever I am already at your house staring at a picture of your
family,
your partner. Yeah, your freaking family.
It was stressful.
Oh no.
So actually after that one, I'm like, maybe I should stop on Disney park dating for a while.
Yeah. I took a long pause on dating and just really like dating on apps, and was like, I need to like get away from these fools, because it's like nothing good is coming from it. So every once in a while I'll take kind of like a chill things out for a little bit and just, you know, do my own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it's hard out there to be single.
Yes. And I mean, that whole like cliche of, you know, you'll find someone when you're not expecting it. So it's just kind of like let the universe happen. So I don't know, maybe I'll meet someone at the park one day and maybe they won't be married.
Yeah, that's the dream. That's the new dream, is to just meet someone that's not lying about who they are.
Yeah, call me old fashioned.
Well, Mike, this has been really fun.
It was really cool.
So where can people find you?
So you can find me on Tinder, Bumble, OkCupid, Craigslist, Casual Encounters. Now, you can find me on Instagram at Harbor and Ball, Facebook /Harbor and Ball, website www.harborandball.com, where all my shirts are. On all my social media, you just find me at the parks on the weekends. If you do see me and you've heard my horror stories on this podcast, come say hi. Let's grab a drink.
Yeah, they should buy you a beer.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, you can find me all over there. And yeah, come say hi if you see me at the parks.
And you can find the Single Rider Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, really wherever you listen to podcasts. Since the first episode, I've gotten everything figured out and everything is approved. So whichever apps you like to use, you can probably just search Single Rider Podcast and find me. Please subscribe. And rate and review. So definitely on Apple Podcasts, if you could give me a 5-star rating and give me a little review, that really helps out the show and helps people find me. You can follow the podcast on Instagram at Single Rider Podcast. And I'm also on Twitter at Single Rider Pod. If you have a great story, I want to hear it. So email me at singleriderpodcast@gmail.com. I want to do some episodes reading your stories. And so, you know, if they revolve around dating at theme parks, I mean, if you went on a date at Six Flags, that works. I would love to hear it. Love Six Flags. I mean, if you had a date at Six Flags, you had an experience, you know? So I want to hear those.
Fair enough. I hope I didn't kill your future sponsorship with them.
I know. Six Flags, sponsor me. but yeah, any of your dang stories, they can be good or bad. Just send them over and let's talk. You know, I wrote in my notes, Dollywood. If anyone has had a date at Dollywood, can we talk? And I know there's probably like a Lifetime movie about it already, but let's talk. but yeah, I just want to hear all about it. And, for my personal, or, you know, I have like 1800 Instagrams. I'm very sorry. But I sell buttons at Casey and the Bear on Instagram. My personal Instagram is very boring, but it's Casey Likes Things. So come find me. And Twitter, my personal is Casey and the Bear. I'm just look up Casey and the Bear. You'll find too many things. You'll be like, this girl has too much time on her hands. But of course, to end the show, we have to do a cheesy pickup line. So I have a pickup line for you, Mike.
Great.
Okay. My hands don't scan. Can I hold yours?
Oh, no.
And it was so topical because of your story.
I need to recover from that. I'm done here.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Mike, for being here. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And I'll be back soon with another episode. Bye.
Bye, guys.